everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, after a couple of pieces of Mona's Kringle, I'm ready to go, and I think you're just working on your first.
I am. Very tasty, flaky, and it's got a little bit of a fruit filling.
Yeah, cherry, I believe. Yep. And well, that's thanks.
Is it cherry, not strawberry?
Oh, it's
or
raspberry.
Might be raspberry.
It's raspberry.
You mean one of them was a cherry?
Well, no. The mayor of Sahorita is here, Tom Murphy, and it's his gift to us. Brought in a couple of Danish Kringles, and we actually should be giving him something because this is Veterans Day observed. It isn't really the official, as far as I'm concerned, November 11th, and that's tomorrow, but it's observed by governmental agencies. And Mayor, we should be giving you a gift, but we will tell you thank you for your service, 21 years in the United States Air Force.
Yes, well, thank you, and thank you for having me here. And also, it's the 248th birthday of the Marine Corps, so Semper Fi.
Yeah.
And I was proud to serve in the Air Force, which we call the Uber for the Marine Corps and the Army. And I was happy to do that and then go back to my air-conditioned room and have my steak. So I was very happy.
Well, we're glad you're here. Thank you for your service. Dan Scheer is also here from the Green Valley News, but I'm going to go through the official open here for the show because we do want to acknowledge not only is it Friday, November 10th, 2023, it is our studio's the naming rights. We're glad they do have them. It's Green Things Zocalo Village studio in the Bustos Media, growing Bustos Media, growing campus here. We've got five radio stations under one roof. And this one is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Personally, I'll begin with this radio show. 14 years will begin, Mayor, in January.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And get this, 36 years on TV and radio in Tucson.
And you don't look a day over 40, so that's a really good thing.
There you go. All right. We have our worldwide live listening on my website. Very proud of our website. Very easy to navigate. You can find all of our podcasts, all the shows. I'd say 99% are up there. Some shows we don't repost because holidays we do best of programs, but I'd say 99% of the shows are at buckmastershow.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, one of our good media friends with me in studio, Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Thank you, Dan, for all your support over the years.
Always great to be here, Bill.
Thanks to Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson Local Media Group. Their portfolio of publications includes Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. And another note about Dan Scheer, not only is the editor of those two papers, he's the editorial director for now, I want to say 35 papers in 13 states.
Probably pretty close to that, yep.
Owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications, which is a family-run organization,
absolutely,
right?
It is, and proud of it.
All right. Mayor Tom Murphy, thank you for coming
in. My pleasure. I think it sounds like between Bustos and WIC, you're going to take over the media world. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, things are moving forward, at least on our two fronts. I want to begin with the news that the city of Tucson, after many years of trying to get a raise for the mayor and the council members, it has passed.
It has. I think the results just came in officially.
Yeah.
They were, for the last couple of days, they were rolling at about 95% reporting.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting that it took them 2 or 3 days to get 5%.
Dan, what was it? A 500? Very close?
About 400 votes out of about 87,000 cast.
Wow.
And so the pay raise went through based on that.
So it it gives the supervisors, Pima County supervisors now, and the city of Tucson some parity there. And the mayor's salary jumps to, I think, about $130-some thousand.
I think after the second bump, because it's tied to the supervisors and the legislature, they're anticipating on getting a supervisor's raise next year. So I think initially it's in the 85,000 range and then up to about 126,000.
And in your town, are your people making a lot of money?
All of our council members together on a monthly basis, we're still short of that.
It'd be way short of that.
Way short of that.
Well, absolutely. Really, though, Tom, isn't the argument that it's really a part-time job?
Yes. Yeah. That's the reality, I would say, especially when I was on council. I would say I'm a little busier as mayor because I really am honored and proud to represent the town. So I try to be as active as possible. And I think the theory for the city to have a raise is the thought that you would attract more highly qualified people because you could actually have that as your full-time job. So that was, I think, is what they were looking at. But down in our area, probably two or three, well, it changes over time, work or own a business, work full time. Mm-hmm. So it really is the way the government, this strong manager form of government, we're supposed to set policy and then have staff carry it out. So it really is supposed to be a part-time job.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before I throw it over to Dan Scheer, I do want to talk about the 4-day work week. Your town has instituted that. It is a pilot program. Why did you guys go that route?
Yeah, I think the paramount reason was really to differentiate ourselves from other communities in Southern Arizona and Pima County. Mm-hmm. So we're not the first in the state, but we are the first in Pima County. And what we found, especially on the police side, that we just we couldn't continually be outbidding ourselves because really we're just sort of moving the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. Yeah. We weren't adding chairs.
Right.
And so we really tried to look at various ways, whether it's in the area of benefits flexible work hours. So some of our folks are on hybrid. And really, we're tying it to production. That's the thing. Because I'm kind of old school, sort of had the analogy that if the butt is in the seat, that you're working.
Right,
and if you're not, you're not. But really, when you look at areas like IT and certainly going online for submitting development plans and things like that, do you really need necessarily having somebody present doesn't mean they're necessarily efficient and effective.
The model for productivity has changed.
I think it has. And it really, I think, was going in that direction somewhat, but the pandemic obviously accelerated it. Mm-hmm. I prefer, you know, at least a combination of both, because I think you do lose something if everything is from afar and by Zoom.
Sure.
I believe in connections and human connection, and I think that's very important. But a lot
you're
of
hearing our, people like it.
I am. And it gives
a 3-day
weekend.
It's not only a recruiting tool, but it's a morale booster, I would think.
And I think really in the initial phase, once you take care of child care and those types of things, you know, there is a transition period. So that's why we thought a year was a good time. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is every municipality that went to this in Arizona, when given the choice a year later, nobody went back to it, especially from the home life, you know.
Yeah, once you've got that 3-day weekend.
3-day weekend to expect.
Oh, we're going back. You're only going to have 2 days now to the traditional. That's not going to make a lot of people happy. Let's turn it over now to my buddy Dan Scheer. And Dan, there's kind of a little bit of kind of a buzz in the community right now, isn't there?
There is. If you look at the Arizona Daily Star, Supervisor Matt Hines wrote an editorial, and whenever I see a representative down from our area write for an entity that's not in our area, I think, gosh, why didn't they give that to us too? Well, I understand why he didn't give us this one, so we'll explain it. He's talking about Houston's Prop B that passed earlier this week, and then he's comparing it to our situation here. So here we have Pima Association of Governments and the RTA, and the entities, Sarita, Tucson, whoever, each have one vote. And he's talking about proportional representation by population. He doesn't think that's right. He thinks that if you have more population, you should have more votes. And Mayor Murphy, this has been discussed before, hasn't it?
It has been discussed actually for a long time.
You're right.
And really, and I think sometimes people forget because of turnover and new folks serving in elected office that the way we got to the one vote, one representation was the previous failures by both the county and the city on these transportation initiatives pre-2006. And it was Mayor Walkup and Ramon Valadez, who represented the county at the time, said, no, we have to look at a new way of doing this because this is a regional transportation authority and we're looking at regional transportation. So they came to an agreement and said, no, we'll agree. We know that South Tucson is much smaller than Tucson or Sahuarita, but to really get this over the finish line and really have it perceived as a regional effort, we're going to have one representation and one vote. So I think that has, obviously it passed, and I think it has served us well over the years. But I think as people change over, I think sometimes the memory of failure, you know, is forgotten.
Go ahead, Dan.
But on its surface, it looks like it's a good thing that those with a greater population should have more of a vote. But really, that would be cutting out Marana and Sahuarita, their voice. I mean, they'd lose.
Literally, if it sort of worked out that way, especially from the RTA meeting perspective, I wouldn't even really need to show up if it was based on that. Yeah. Because, you know, we would already be the results. Now, what we are looking...
If it was weighted toward population, you basically would have, like, not a voice at all.
Yes. No, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And really, the way we're looking at it now, based on the individual projects that will be potentially submitted for RTA next... is the monies. You know, that's more of the way we have been establishing it. So I'll go, probably Sahuarita and Oro Valley will get two main projects out of it, where the county will probably get five or six and the city will get multiples of that. So really the using population, just like state shared revenue, we get proportional share based on the revenue. So the first RTA was really looked at from a financial perspective, and there was, I would say, equity based on where the monies were collected from, and that served us, I think, very well.
And we should point out that this is the RTA board. Has a representative. You are the representative, and then there are nine members.
Yes, the county, Arizona Department,
Nation,
and the two nations.
The two nations.
And all the mayors.
And then General Maxwell, who is the Arizona Department of Transportation representative, and then the mayors. Going back to this, Dan, does that kind of feel like maybe there's sort of this undercurrent, not only with Dr. Hines, but some folks on the city too that aren't happy with the way things
are. No, I think a lot of people are going to be happy with this, and they're going to wonder whether Matt Hines really represents Sahuarita as a supervisor. But let me take this in a little bit of a different direction, maybe a little uncomfortable, but particularly through the pandemic, we could see that Marana and Sahuarita were very conservative.
Yes.
And Tucson is not. Do you think this was political on his part to try to take away some of the influence of the more conservative areas in Pima County?
I'm not sure. Obviously, in that case, I'd prefer him to answer for himself. But it is a little perplexing that he has virtually all of Sahuarita. Supervisor Christie has a small portion with, I think it's no people, and Supervisor Bronson. So from a supervisory standpoint, I would hope or think that he would be thinking of one of his bigger municipalities that he represents. And this would be, in my opinion, opposite of being supportive of that type of representation.
So where are the next? There's a deadline coming up here.
December 7th is when we hope. I know I was listening to General Maxwell, and I probably concur with him that I would anticipate a sort of Supreme Court decision where you get the majority and the minority input from the CAC. There's an ad hoc committee. I expect that'll have a plan that will probably be a combination of those two. And then I could see, because the county has an interesting representation, because not only do they represent unincorporated Pima County, all of us mm-hmm. belong to Pima County. Mm-hmm. So that's a delicate balance. So I could see the county actually coming in with some type of a plan. So my hope is that we thank the CAC for all their hard work, mm-hmm. and then it lands on the regional council to take 2, 3, or 4 potential plans that would be submitted and let us work that out. Because to me, I always refer to this as the people's plan. It doesn't matter what Mayor Murphy or Mayor Honey wants as a RTA plan next. It's what the people will support. And we saw that by the 6 county bonds, you know, a few years ago that all went down in flames. So I really want something to get to us that we can wrestle, get it out to the voters on the road shows. And I think they had 400 or so the first time
around.
Hundreds of them.
It's got to be appeal. There's got to be something for everybody in the plan.
Absolutely. And I
mean, if it's top heavy of mass transportation, you're going to not make the other folks happy that want new roads.
Well, I was thinking when I went up to Mona's this morning and picked up the Kringle, and I thought, if I really was leaving Sahuarita and I was going to use mass transit, I might be here by tomorrow at this time, but I wouldn't be here by today. So I just believe there has to be a delicate balance between the two, and I understand that, but I don't know how Dan writes an article down in Green Valley that says, well, you're getting nothing, but we really think it's a really good idea that you support it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to remember, because I always say I try to check my mayor's hat at the door when I go to a PAG RTA meeting and think of regionally. And I think it goes to the voting, one municipality, one vote. It goes to a balance between transit and roads. I don't think road diets are necessarily the way to expand our regional transportation. We don't have a east-west corridor through the city. And I think not seeing the reality as it will just continue to have gridlock, and we won't have good transportation, which then I think it will be a struggle to get these big businesses, as American Battery Factory just had a ribbon cutting a little while ago, to come into our community. I love bus pullouts, for example. I mean, and as a Sahuarita resident, I love it when I'm up in the city and I don't get caught behind a bus. But right now, I'm not hopping on a bus down in Sahuarita to go to Mona's and then to come down here, for instance.
Even though it's free transit within the city of Tucson.
Right. I think that's a separate issue, too, on who we are attracting as ridership or not ridership by doing as well.
Let's pause right here. And speaking of Mona's Danish Bakery, thank you, Mayor, again for bringing in not one, but 2 Kringles, a raspberry, and I've already had 2 pieces, and Tom Fairbanks has had 1, but he'll be getting another one probably before the show is over. Mona's also taking orders right now for Thanksgiving, which is now a week from Thursday. Mayor, if you had to put in an order for your pie, what type of pie would you want Steve and the team to prepare?
Well, being that I live in Sahuarita and have the largest pecan groves in the United States.
Pecan pie.
I'm going with pecan pie.
Pecan pie. Dan, what about you?
I've had Mona's apple pie, and it's awesome.
Apple pie.
Incredible.
Tom Fairbanks, what about you? Do you want to weigh in on this, Tom?
I'd like to have chocolate cream.
I knew you were going to say that. You said that last year. And I don't know if Steve can do that. He probably could. But chocolate cream pie, wow. If that's on the menu, Tom, you probably would go to dessert before the turkey.
I think you've got something there.
There you go. All right. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. We'll take a break. More with Mayor Tom Murphy from Sahuarita right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview, the mayor of Sahuarita, Tom Murphy, is here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. And our live line for our telephone interview is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joining me, my co-media host. We always bring in a co-media person to join me in questioning our newsmakers on Friday. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. And Dan, we've got a caller on line one. Jeff has a question about RTA. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, a comment, actually. I don't know how long you fellas have been around Tucson, but I've been here quite a while. The RTA was born almost as an act of desperation by the people of Pima County to get anything, and I do mean anything, done on the roads, the highways, intersections, whatever. It was just, it was an impossibility. The bond issues you speak of that went down, those, they went down because people voted all along the way. We're going back to the mid-70s for bond issues that would invariably have some comment about so much will go to transportation or, a rural improvement, whatever. And it never happened. And people gradually knew that they were simply being played. There was not going to be anything happen.
Okay.
Had it not been, the RTA came in because the roads were so bad that there was almost nowhere else to go. And now to throw away what they've done, pensable. The one really successful story in Pima County and Tucson, city of Tucson, somewhat unsurprisingly, wants to trash it. It's just unconscionable. That's my comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Go ahead, Mayor, your reaction.
No, I agree with Jeff 100% that it's been a very successful project. And that's why when we have had a couple of attempts to change what was promised to the voters, such as First Avenue, I think I was either the only one or maybe Mayor Honey and I were the two that voted against not doing the will of the people, because it was supposed to go to four lanes, from four lanes to six lanes. Mm-hmm. And I was more apt to want to bring it back to the voters, especially so close to the sunsetting of it. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that we always had in our sort of in our quiver was promises made, promises kept on what we actually. Right. And to Jeff's point, when you have the mistrust of government, which mm-hmm. tends to be pretty strong nowadays, mm-hmm. and you change projects like that, and does that demotivate the next opportunity to do it? So I'm always very cautious of changing with the voters, because I've always been taught voter initiatives, voters' votes are the strongest mm-hmm. policy we can change from a legislative level. But when the voters say, I said I wanted, you know, to go from 4 lanes to 6 lanes, I think we have to be very, very careful before we change that.
All right. Here's Dan Scheer.
And Jeff was referring to the 2015 bond, where it was about more than $800 million for the county. All 7 questions went down in flames, shocking everybody, because these things had been passed just routinely in Pima County over the years. Do you remember, though, that the last minute, Chuck Huckleberry, county administrator, threw $200 million extra on there for the roads. And I think at that point they had sensed, we're asking for too much, so let's give them $200 million but for the roads. Tell them it's for roads. But I think Jeff is right. People felt like the football had been pulled out so often that forget mm-hmm. it. We're mm-hmm. just going to say no and send a message. And they did. The voters sent a huge message that year.
All right, Dan, what's going on with the fire service down in your area?
Well, on July 1st, everything changes. Right now, the town of Sahuarita is half covered by the Green Valley Fire District, which also covers Green Valley. And the northern part, where I live, actually, and the mayor lives, is covered by Rural Metro. Rural Metro is a subscription-based service, and about 40% of the people subscribe. That means 60% don't. So they're not paying in. And Rural Metro said, look, we just can't afford it anymore. And they said that as of July 1 this coming year, they are going to be out. So there was a petition drive, and Green Valley Fire is in. But let me ask you the obvious question that yes. people are thinking. Is a town the size of Sahuarita, why don't we have our own fire department?
Well, that was tried when I probably a little after I first moved there in 2003. And it was an interesting dilemma, because the town attempted to try to have their municipal fire department. And then we had Rural Metro and Green Valley Fire District at the time. So we had these three competing interests. And I remember, because I was not on the council, of course, at the time, I was just a citizen. And it was that, I think, really came down to that mistrust in government, because the council at the time said that we really can't lockbox the monies that would be collected for fire service. And they had a sense, just like you had said about the county, that this was not going in a good direction. And then kind of at the last minute, some of the council members said, well, we think we figured out a way to lockbox it. And now at this point, when you have, my opinion, when you have Green Valley Fire District already having half the town, for the town to go back and now go in the fire business, I think a ladder truck takes, I think, 2 years on order to get one, and it's $1 million plus mm-hmm. dollars to have sure. one. And they're a separate governing agency. So literally what I learned is if the town had tried to go in the fire service business, we would have to take over the whole town. So then Green Valley Fire District would lose all of the southern part of the town. Mm-hmm. And again, when they had a bond just a couple of years ago, I think it passed like 80%
at least.
Some, maybe it was 90. It was, mm-hmm. you know, so it showed the quality and the confidence that the mm-hmm. citizens had in the original Green Valley Fire District. So we just thought, and they had a desire to take over the other half mm-hmm. of the town and cover us all. So,
and I'll tell you this, I'm cynical thanks to journalism, but Green Valley Fire District is absolutely remarkable. What they have done in Green Valley and Southern Sahuarita. So for them to come up, and now we have one provider, which is going to make right. things just a lot more less chaotic, I think, and one who we know is going to be there. We know is going to be there. And that's what's been lacking with Rural Metro, because we know that they've had leadership issues and financial problems. And people just wondered, you know, when we call 911, is anybody going to show up? And now we know, yes, they will.
And that because of that strength of Green Valley Fire District, I think there was really no thoughts that the town really should take half of their area away and us go into the business and not have trucks and all of mm-hmm. those types of things.
If 40% of the people said yes to Rural Metro, 60% were saying no. And I'm curious, Were they just like gambling? Oh, it won't happen to me. I won't have any kind of fire. I'm not going to need to call paramedics.
I really think it was. I think they rolled the dice that we have very, very low fire calls. Most of our calls, if they're anything,
but
they're for
still,
ambulance.
Life, folks, right. Life can change in an instant. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But you would. The reason they were still able to get homeowners insurance is because all the homeowners insurance people care about is if I dial 911, is someone going to come to the house and put out the fire? And the answer is yes, 100% of the homes there. But if you don't have a subscription, you're going to be billed, and the average fire in that area would be cost you about $20,000. And so, and I'll tell you what Rural Metro was doing to try to recruit people. Is they'd say, "We'll cut the bill in half, but you now have to become a subscriber." But in the end, it still wasn't enough. They needed that money. But now, 100% of the people through taxation, will be in. And by the way, we are going to be paying more than we were paying to Rural Metro because of the bond that the mayor just mentioned passed a couple years ago. It is going to increase. So my rate's going to go up, close to 50%. Quite honestly, I'm fine with it.
Right. And, again, it wasn't a choice between one or the other. It was a choice. Do you want to have fire coverage, especially with Rural Metro leaving? So I'm the same way. And I think I wasn't able to deduct the subscription from my taxes, but I think I will for being the taxing authority from the Green Valley Fire District. I don't know if it'll be a wash. But, again, at the end of the day, you want quality service, sure. And Green Valley Fire District will deliver that quality service.
Dan, we haven't talked about the vote in Vail.
Yeah, interesting. And in fact, years ago, Vail Incorporation, there was an effort and it went down. In fact, on this very show I was hosting and I had a little debate between pro and con on that issue. It comes up again. And Vail is in southeastern part of the area here, and they said no again. And
it was 60-40, right?
62-38 was the final result in that, basically. But that went down real hard. I was very surprised. Now, Mayor, you were called in as a supporter of incorporation. Sarita did this in 1994.
Correct.
And Green Valley is not incorporated. Sarita is. So incorporated means you have a mayor and a council, and you're basically the master of your own destiny. Vail said no. Are you surprised?
I was actually shocked on the results, because I really thought they were in a better place to incorporate than we were in 1994.
Absolutely.
From an economic development base, to have that retail tax base and such. So I was really, really surprised. I had gone out a couple of times to do some presentations, really just to overcome what I thought was misinformation, especially from the no side. Mm-hmm. One of the signs said, "Control your growth, vote no." And I thought, well, if you want to control your growth, you want to vote yes, because it's the mayor and council who sets policy on if you're pro-growth or not pro-growth.
Yeah.
The other one was your property taxes will skyrocket, and no property tax that I pay comes to the town of Sahuarita. We don't have a property tax. And actually, Tom Belshi with the Arizona League of Cities and Towns, he came to a presentation with me and he said there's not a municipality that's been incorporated since 1984 that has started a property tax. Hmm. So, change is hard. I've learned that from a couple of other issues that are going on in the town. Mm-hmm. And fear is very strong. And I've been reflecting on this over the last few days. And one of the things I was thinking was, because Vail has always had a world-renowned school district. Steve, Supervisor Christie, fights really hard for representation and for roads and things out there. So I think where in 94, Sahuarita really was known as a small mining area. We weren't a town, and we were going to be growing. So I think creating an identity maybe helped a little bit more for ours, but we only passed, there was about 500 and I think so many voters that voted at the time, and it passed by 14 votes in Sahuarita in 1994.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So it was very close. So I expected it to be close, but I expected it to pass, actually, because as Dan just said, it really is controlling your own destiny. We would have had another voice and a vote on the Pima Association of Governments and RTA fighting for their infrastructure. Mm. And I've heard people had called in that said they voted no, but then they were complaining about some of their roads simultaneously. And it's like, folks, you don't get it both ways.
Maybe they just brand themselves as this thinking of themselves as, gee, we're this little rural community and city life doesn't appeal to us or whatever.
Well, and I also think that they really think they have a quality area community, which they do.
Yeah.
But not knowing or realizing that potentially if you don't control that destiny, that could actually start to be chipped away at. Mm-hmm. I could see this the city of Tucson start annexing to the east and gobbling up land around them. And you only have so many opportunities to do this before it really becomes not possible.
Right, and I think that was a lot of the concern out there is they don't want to become part of Tucson, but Tucson now can start marching in street by street, annexing and coming their way. And I know very few people out there who would be in favor of that. That very well could happen. And you're right, they have a much stronger economic base than Sarita did 30 years ago. They could have pulled this off, but there are there's so much fear-mongering that goes on. Oh, overnight, you're going to lose your deputies.
Right.
You know, you're not going to become... No, that's not the case.
And you really, so, I mean, our journey from contracting with the county and really ramping up, you know, we didn't start with 190 employees. And from a financial perspective, unlike the federal government, we have to present a balanced budget. You know, we cannot spend beyond our means, and then you spend within your means. So the fact that they're going to leave millions of state shared revenue and HERF money on the table for the other 91 of us to divide up between us, and that's a lost opportunity from a financial basis for...
All right. Mayor, we're going to let you go unless Dan has something real quick.
Sarita Unified School District passed a $50 million bond. I know the town is not involved in funding the school district, but what does this mean?
It means the quality community that we're so proud of will continue, and the expansion of their quality school offerings, with such as dual enrollment and Navy courses and all of the above, JTED, will continue. So I was very, very pleased. And I was actually pleased from Pima County. I think it's one of the first times all of them passed.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Usually somebody goes down.
I think that's a good sign.
Yes.
That's the first time that TUSD has had one that's passed in 20 years, I believe.
Yep.
So,
and we have a lot of great park and rec opportunities. So go to our website. We have something tonight. We have Veterans Day tomorrow. We have Winterfest December 2nd. We have a really hardworking park and rec staff. And
so you've got a lot going on
for
your residents to recreate.
Absolutely. Okay. Including tonight, we have a Beatles acoustic cover band at the lake with vendors from 5 to 8 p.m. So really proud of our staff and the services they deliver to our community.
Speaking of services, again, thank you for your service to the Air Force for 21 years on this Veterans Day weekend. Thank you, Mayor. And again, thanks for the Mona's Danish Bakery Kringle. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. I've got a couple of things to talk about with Dan Scheer after we take our break. It's Buckmaster on a Friday afternoon.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing,
custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line for telephone interviews and comments presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Thanks to Mayor Murphy. Good conversation today. Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun with us. Some good topics, very timely, about Vail Incorporation going down, the city of Tucson. Suddenly the council people and the mayor going to have a big pay raise.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I'll tell you that when our mayor, Tom Murphy, speaks about Sahuarita, what he's talking, what he has behind him is nearly 30 years of a successful incorporated town. And as I said earlier, I'm very cynical, but the town of Sahuarita, for the most part, does it right. And it's growing and it's controlled, and they are controlling their own destiny. And that's why I think we were a little surprised that that happened to Vail. My daughter lives out there, and we're out in that community quite a bit. And it is very tight-knit, some great people. But there are there's a lot of fear-mongering going on when you talk about incorporation. It's a scary thing. It has been voted on 4 times in Green Valley, went down in flames every time, and it was extraordinarily contentious, big time. And so they haven't talked about it in, I think, almost 20 years now. But it's a scary proposition, but I don't know anybody in the history of Arizona who is unincorporated. Actually, there might have been one place that that disincorporated and
what
said,
was
yeah,
that
wasn't for us. And I can't remember
wasn't
who it
up
was,
near
but
Cottonwood or Sedona area.
I talked to the state about it, and I said, okay. And then they said, yeah, there had been one. It was years ago. Yeah. And it could have been that it's probably rose and fall on finances.
Yeah. While I was away for a couple of days, got away for a few days after the beautiful Anne's celebration of life in mid-October, one of your shows that you did was about dementia. And you said that people are circulating the show. They want copies of it.
I have been telling everyone about it.
So much interest in that, and Alzheimer's. And
we've done, there's a group out there called Dementia Capable Southern Arizona, and they are tied in with the Pima Council on Aging. And we did have a couple of their folks on this show, which was very, very positive. And we've done 4 or 5 articles. And a lot of it is like dementia 101, because dementia is one of those things that you really just don't want to get into until you need it. And when you need it, it just springs itself upon you. And so this just allows people to understand what the journey is going to be like, and that it's going to be very tough, but that you're not alone. And so to have those people on this show, and for me to be able to send that copy of that show to others, has been very valuable. But again, if you don't get dementia, someone you know you will be affected by
you
it
will.
At some point in your life.
You know, in the mid-80s, when I was working in the Bay Area, I remember going out on a report. The assignment editor said, there's this thing called Alzheimer's disease. I want you to go out and do a piece about what is this all about. And that was like in the 80s. I knew nothing about it. And what is so frustrating, I could probably do the same story today because there's not that much has changed in modalities for making things better or reversing it.
Right. And think about in the 70s and 80s how cruel we were, Bill, because we would use words like senility.
Yeah.
Oh, he's senile.
Senile.
And he's crazy, you know. And now we do understand it a little bit more, and people are having more interaction with it. And it was very interesting on this show as they were talking about instructing people who own businesses who have people with dementia, because a lot of them, some of them do live on their own for a time, and they come in their store to understand what they might be going through and how to help them shopping or whatever. So there is some progress on it, but it's all an education effort. Yeah. And again, thank you for the show, because it really reached a lot of people.
Anything you would like to say about Veterans Day?
Well, we've got a couple of events that I'm going to tomorrow involving veterans, and Green Valley loves this. We also have a profile on Sunday of a young veteran who has come out of really a dark place, PTSD and drug and alcohol abuse, and is making his way. And it's a great story. It's uplifting. He really put himself on the line, put himself out there and said, look, this is what was going on, and here's what's working for me. So we're kind of proud of that story, and I'm proud of him for coming forward with us. So you can see that in at gvnews.com over the weekend.
General Jeff Buchanan is becoming a regular military contributor to this show. Mm-hmm. He lives down in Patagonia. He's a 3-star retired general. This guy's amazing. He's also a member of the deputy sheriff, volunteer sheriff in Cochise County. He's a member of Game and Fish. But he was talking about the danger that is happening, that military service is becoming like a family business. It's like generation after generation. We're not really getting a lot of newer people into the ranks of people that want to serve.
That's a great question. Yeah. And great observation. My father was a career Army. I have 5 brothers, so three went into the military and 3 went off to college. And guess what? These days you can do both and be very successful at it.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It is a family thing, but there are fewer people going that way.
Yeah. All right, Dan. Always a pleasure, Dan Scheer. We'll look for your work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Matt Russell, Weekend Watch, coming right up.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
And we are off and running on the weekend. Time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where it is a cool 45 degrees at midday. They're kind of having, I think, a little bit of the weather we had yesterday as it moves east. But the weekend looks really good, around 60 degrees, good hiking weather, outdoor activities. Check it out. Only about a three-hour drive. I just added an extra hour, and I don't think you'll need it. It's about 3 hours from the Tucson area, east of Tucson. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. What to do, where to stay, and where to eat. You'll be very pleased with your trip over there, and we're always pleased with the fine effort of our Weekend Watch contributor, award-winning Tucson publicist Matt Russell. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Then let me hereby declare this a fabulous Friday, Bill.
Oh, I'm always ready for a good Friday and a great weekend. Matt, you know, over the years, you have told us about so many openings, culinary openings. Do we have another one?
Yeah, people turn into the Buckmaster Show for this breaking news. Yes, we have another new restaurant that has just opened. The new kid on the block is Tesoro Latin Kitchen, and it's on North Oracle Road, just on the campus of the Tucson Mall. Now, this is a high-energy eatery that celebrates Latin culture and Latin cuisine with a modern twist. They've got wonderful starters and great entrees, tortas, tamales, plenty of fresh seafood, deep-fried pork belly with a garlic mojo sauce.
Wow.
And then pitchers of mojitos, if you can imagine, and you can end your evening on the dance floor, some salsa, some merengue, some samba. The weekend is off to a great start at Tesoro today. Check it out.
Sounds like a winner there. Olives and Mission Garden, there's a lot of history there.
Yeah, you know, I'm a huge olive fan, be it green, black, and everything in between. And these briny little beauties are the stars of the show tomorrow when Mission Garden hosts an olive history and tasting event from 9 to 11 a.m. They're going to be talking about where olives come from, how they originally came to southern Arizona, how those beautiful olive trees grow. They're going to be showing you how to cure olives. And the best part, they're going to be doing some olive sampling with olives that are grown right there in Mission Garden. So whether you're an olive enthusiast or simply curious about their story, head over to Mission Garden tomorrow morning.
What a great pedigree the olives in Mission Garden have here in our area. Tucson Modernism Week, it's that time of year again. Always fun to look at some of that 50s and beyond look.
Yeah, absolutely. Mid-century modern design and architecture all over the city. And that's happening this weekend. And every celebration needs an appropriate kickoff, of course. So join your friends at the Tucson Modernism Week cocktail party tomorrow at 5:30. Now, this is a super exclusive event that offers a rare opportunity to step inside a stunning Hollywood Regency home in central Tucson, designed by architect Arthur Darton. And check it out, Bill. This event marks the very first time that this remarkable home has been open to the public in a generation, but you won't know exactly where it is until you purchase your ticket. So go to preservetucson.org for all the event information. And I'll tell you what, get ready to step out in tomorrow night.
Yeah, that sounds like a great event. The suspense is killing me. I wonder where it is. But anyway, I have to buy a ticket to find out. Thank you so much,
yes,
Matt Russell.
Do.
Have a great weekend, Matt.
You do the same, my friend. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music, my friend Christophan from Munich, Germany, put together our music. Thank you. Assistant Rosemary Brandt. Thanks, Rose, for getting all of our podcasts posted in an appropriate time. KVOI's Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. The entire team, in fact, here at Bustos Media Tucson. All of us have the same wish for you. Be well, everybody. Stay safe and have a wonderful, lovely weekend.